Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
Hey, this morning I want to speak to you just for a few short moments because Kevin only gave me 40 minutes. He said, "You only have 40 minutes. He said, "Are we going to get out of here by 12:30? And so at 12:20, they're all going to start giving me the 10-minute thing. So I do want to talk about this, but I want to bring a picture really quick. I want to talk about the breaker anointing. But kudos really quick to this young guy and the purple people eater. And I don't know if it's purple or blue, but Micah and his comrades there beat up on Cambridge Lions yesterday. In case you don't know, he's playing for the London Junior Mustangs. And 35-8, and just a serious butt kicking yesterday. So that was really awesome for him. And so I get excited about that, not just to show pictures of your kid, but how many realize that breakthrough comes in all sorts of different ways? You know, when we're talking about a breaker anointing, and it comes in all sorts of different forms, fashions, figures, comes in all kinds of different ways. And what I really like about what is happening over there is because the coaches, how many are, you know, when you get around, you know, football and especially sidelines of whether it's college-level football, junior-level football, or even the pro ranks, there's all sorts of different ways to use profanity on the sideline. Matter of fact, one of the administrators told me the other day, he said, you know, you might want to wear earmuffs, you know, on the sideline. And certainly, I mean, they use every kind of F-bomb on there and all kind of crazy stuff. And the weird thing is just kind of rolls off. But how many realize just because stuff like that rolls off doesn't necessarily mean the church pulls away from that. That's the very place where you need to infiltrate. So what's really exciting is the coaches came up to me the other day and they said not only was, you know, Micah one of the youngest football players to ever make the London Junior Mustangs, but they said, "Man, you raised a good kid." I said, "How's that?" He said, "Because everything he says is yes, sir, and no, sir." You don't ever hear profanity coming out of his mouth because he knows if it did, he wouldn't have any teeth left. You know, but the fact of the matter is this. That, you know, God is, how many parents, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? And so I always tell them, even with the kids yesterday, I said, you know, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building us up so that it might benefit those that listen to it. But the exciting thing is, you know, with Micah, you don't even know this, but, you know, you're a very key, significant part of the breakthrough on the team because of his testimony, they've allowed me for the first time to be the chaplain of the Junior Mustangs. Which I don't even know what that means either. Because I'm still trying to find out. We're supposed to do the prayer before the game, and that really hasn't happened yet because they're all kind of, you know, out there. But when talking with the head coach, he told me, you know what? The Western Mustangs, they don't really have a chaplain either. So who knows where, you know, this whole thing is going to, you know, get into. So I get really excited about that, and especially every kid that's involved in sports, you know, whatever that your level is, you know, make room for God. I have a friend, Mel Rolls. He says, "Take time for God because He took time for you." And if you put that place, give Him a proper place, then how many realize that He will promote you in due time? So I get really excited about that. I want to show you a clip. I think we have it. Do we have it available? This is a really interesting clip of when we were in South Africa. It's a short one. It was actually, you know, a little bit sideways, but it was on the second night when we were in Worcester, South Africa. And it wasn't just a normal meeting because we're talking about the breaker anointing. And what is really exciting about the second night is that there were 40 churches who had got together, 40 pastors who had got together that had never happened in Worcester, South Africa before. There were all sorts of races that were coming together, you know, that had never happened before. So there were 2,000 people the first and second night. And this young girl, just, you know, in Africa, they do this crazy kind of this sound, man. I can't even do it. It's really weird. But I knew that there was something powerful that was attached to it. And I think we have it right here.
That's like going to Switzerland to try to yodel. I mean, it just doesn't work, right? So I heard that. And I know you guys hear that all the time. I don't hear it a lot. But I want you to do it like you've never done it before. Because, you know, people want to see you. We're going to pray for supernatural growth right here. So here's the deal. What's your name?
Vimani.
Awesome. I love it. So this is what you're going to do. I'm going to pray for you first.
Don't do it.
Other way around.
We got people who've never seen this before here, so we have to behave. Okay.
A tad bit loopy, doesn't it? Well, here's the exciting thing about that whole trip, and I want to get right into this because Kevin's only given me now 39 minutes, you know, to get through this whole thing. I was extremely hesitant to even go to Africa. I didn't even want to go. Pastor Carl told me, he said, hey, have you considered, you know, going with Todd? I was like, I'm not going to Africa. I got other stuff to do and, you know, bowling and stuff like that. And it wasn't probably 4 days, for those of you who don't know the story, about 4 days, and Todd said, hey, I need you to come down. I need you to come help me steward the revival. I said, you know what? I didn't really want to do that because it was a long time. It's been about 5 years since I was even kind of flowing in that type of a level of anointing. But I knew that I had to do something, and Cheryl knew that I had to do something. So with your help, Cheryl's help basically kicked me off the diving board of faith without a life jacket, And we booked the flight. Little did I know that when I got there, then Todd was already had the plans. He said, we're going to send you to Worcester, and you're going to speak on my behalf because I can't go there. And at that point, I was like, you got to be kidding me. I just came down here to maybe catch people, to help out. Now you're sending me to go do the stuff. How many know God has a plan? God always has a plan. And you guys knew too. And so I get down there, and what was really, really interesting is there's 2,000 people. Now, how many realize when there's a couple grand people showing up, man, you have got to be on point. But the very moment, if you think you're on point in the flesh, then nothing out of the ordinary is going to take place. So the very moment, man, the very moment that he hands me the mic, it was as if those 5 years between Ireland and Worcester just condensed into the width of a piece of paper, as if the 5 years, you know, kind of just never happened. It was like, boom, I mean, it was right there. And never before, I don't think, had I preached with such a greater strength, anointing, authority, healing. I can't tell you how many people that were deaf instantly got their hearing back. Matter of fact, I went on video later on. I said, I'm going to pray for 2,000 people here tonight that they would get their hearing back. Now, you didn't catch that, but I'll say it again. I said, I'm going to pray tonight that 2,000 people get their hearing back. Because there was a lot of people in the body of Christ that they couldn't hear the voice of the Lord anymore. I said, matter of fact, not only are we going to pray that 2,000 people get their hearing back, we're also going to pray that 2,000 people get their sight back, that they get a vision for the lost again, that they get a vision for the Lord again. And listen to me very carefully. I got a really cool word. It's going to be a great word, I promise you, you know, today for you. Because how many realize when you get to that place in your life where you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're right where God has placed you, you know, for such a time as this, then you begin to say things you thought you never would have said. You begin to go places you thought you never would have gone. You begin to experience things in the supernatural that you may have only read about in the past. And in order for something like that to happen, you know, when you hear, you know, it's just another sound. But how many realize if you're in South Africa and you hear that sound, it's like an alarm, and I don't know what it would sound like here. No two places are the same. But I do realize this, that God said, bring the girl up for this reason. And when we brought her up for that particular reason, you can't feel what was happening right there. But there was something, there was a significant breakthrough that happened in the heavenlies and in that particular realm and region that had never, ever happened before. And the two nights went on into six nights. But what I'm saying here tonight is just because it happened over there, there's really no reason why it cannot happen here in London. And how many realize, I firmly believe, you know, Pastor Carl told me, he said, man, let's just believe for an outpouring. Let's believe for an awakening. Let's just go for it. And I said, man, if you're game to go for it, I'm game to go for it. So let's just kind of see what happens. Go with Isaiah, or Exodus, if you will, to chapter 23. I am totally pitiful at PowerPoints, but nonetheless, I tried. Pastor Carl said, well, 48. I thought 30 would be good, and it's still too small. But either way, it's all good. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice and don't provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you to bring you into the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Canaanites, and the Muscovites, and the Cellulites, and the Freedomites, and you know, all that. And I will cut them all off. You shall not bow to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in the land, and I will fulfill the number of your days, verse 27. I will send my fear before you, and I will cause confusion among the people to whom you come, and will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, the Hittites from before you, and I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field become too numerous to you. Here we go, verse 30. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased and you begin to inherit the land. How many of you here today, in just a short show of hands, will say, I am a candidate for increase. I'm a candidate for an inheritance. I'm a candidate for the angel of the Lord to go before me in every area of my life, regardless of the situation, regardless of the area. It doesn't matter if it's on the Western football field. It doesn't matter if it's at work. It doesn't matter if you're in the hospital. It doesn't matter where you are. Angel of the Lord, go before me and part the ways. You see, when the angel of the Lord goes before you and parts the ways, the only thing that's holding you and I back is us. Excuses are discounted but never discontinued. We are loaded with excuses. Why not to go? Because quite often it's going to cost us something. What did that trip cost me? About $5,000. And the exciting thing about it, it didn't really cost me $5,000 because out of nowhere, people sent money. How many know that God will never advance your instructions beyond your latest act of obedience? Let me say it again. God will never advance your instructions beyond your latest act of obedience. And because we were obedient, and because we went, then God provided along the way. And I get excited about that. Because I get excited when Jeremy's coming, and Bobby Connor's coming, and Josh and Janet is coming, and all these great men and women of God are coming. And the exciting thing is we have been inundated with His glory. And yet still, we sometimes sit like this. Like, show me something that I haven't seen. Show me, and you know what? I've seen a diamond, but you know what? I haven't seen a pair one. So show me a pair one. You know, we've seen all sorts of different things. But the fact of the matter is this. God, I don't want to just see the things. I just want You. I don't care if people show up. I just want You to show up. Because when You show up, then people are going to show up. What happens after those 2 and 3 days, Kevin, man? It's just nuts. I'm sitting in the hotel room, and I kind of felt at the time, Karen, like I was like this, you know, circus lion. You know, feed the lion, he comes out, he performs. Go to the hotel, get in your cage, feed the lion, he comes out, and he performs. And for 6 days, it was kind of crazy like that. But all of a sudden, the kitchen staff's knocking on my door. Can you pray for us? Sure. So I don't know what their plans are. I'm in some foreign country, and they escort me into the back of the kitchen and some other, you know, godforsaken closet back in here somewhere. And, you know, we're there with all the cans of soup, and we're praying in there. And then God shows up, you know, in the room with the cans of soup. And then this other lady shows up, and she says, hey, can you come pray for my the housekeeping staff? I'm like, hey, sure, got nothing else to do. Let's go pray for the housekeeping staff. Well, all these little people, they start showing up in room 108. The Muslims are there. The Hindus are there. All these people are there. And they're just looking at me like I'm supposed to do something. So I just said to the one lady, hey, how's your back? Well, that's pretty much a no-brainer. They're all in housekeeping. Their backs are killing them anyway. So that's an easy one. So we start praying for the lady with the back. Boom, she goes, that's weird. She goes, I have no back pain now. I'm like, yeah, no kidding. That's the way it's supposed to work. And all of a sudden, she gets a little dopey, and I just look over to the lady next to me. She's over by the bed. She goes, whoop, boom. And all these little Muslim people, they're thinking, I just killed them. The little white man from Canada just came and killed them all. What was exciting was this. It happened all to every single person in room 108. They got a touch, and they experienced the presence and the power and the purity of God in just an incredible, incredible way. What I didn't know was this, that, you know, as the afternoon progressed, here's people knocking on my door, like I'm the Fuller Brush salesman or something, you know, knocking on the, Pastor, can you pray for me? Pastor, can you pray for me? Pastor, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So all afternoon, that's what it was like. But how many know that's a good thing, because you know what it's like to be the opposite, where nobody calls you to pray, where when you pray, nothing out of the ordinary takes place. And how many know favor follows the faithful forever? And what's really cool about that is that the hotel comped the entire week stay. I mean, I had to get a stay in this 5-star resort for free. It was awesome. What I'm trying to say to you here today is that God's favor goes before you when you step out in faith. And we're talking about the breaker anointing. Colossians 2 and 8 says, do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions, and he has lost his connection with the head. Listen, God is going to break open any way or route that He has ordained for us to go through, even if it seems impossible. And that there is something for us to start that God has ordained for us to finish. Let me say it again. That there is something for us to start that God has ordained for you to finish. He is the breaker that crashes a gate in order to move the Israelites into an open place. And I know for a fact that there are many of you here this morning that you're saying, man, God, I wish I could, or God, I wish I could go, or God, I wish I could say. And you know what, friends? There is nothing that is holding us back except us. God literally wants to go before you. Brian, come on up, share what happened on Wednesday night as God went before you guys on the street. Quickly. No, you did what? You prayed again.
Feeling, so we prayed again.
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 So we prayed. Most again. People would quit.
So we prayed again, and I asked Megan if she wanted to pray, and she's kind of new at this. She's been in the Lord now about 3-4 months, and she did. But she was praying all with us, and then.
But she went. She went with you.
She was right there, and she experienced it. And then, as we began to pray again, she started to feel. She said, "I feel pain moving." Like the pain was moving out of her leg, up, shooting right out. And I took her cast and I kind of bumped it on the ground a bit, not real hard. I kind of touched it. And I looked at her. I said, "Does that hurt?" She said, "No, but that should have." And she felt like there was so much activity going on. It was very exciting that she said she felt 90% better. So we're very excited because before when we asked her if we could pray for her, she said, "I'm not a believer." She wanted us to know that she doesn't believe, but you can pray for it. And then as she was leaving, getting on the bus, she looked right at me and she says, "I'm a believer." So that whole experience changed her whole concept of God. Whoop, whoop.
I get excited about that. I get excited because the girl was not a believer. Then she was like 50%. And most people would go, "Oh, well, see, it didn't work." And they would just, you know, run back. But persistence, he kept on. And then it was 90%. And then she's feeling better. And then the last thing she says is what? "I'm a believer." I get excited about that because how many know that the angel of the Lord goes before you to accomplish great and mighty miracles, which sometimes we know not of. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I just get sick about, reading about history. I want to make it, man. And I admire all the great exploits that some of the good old boys and gals did back in the day. But, you know, I want to get to the place I said, boom, I want to do it myself. So I've got a word for you today. Is that okay? And now, I put it up on the screen here today. I think I got it up here. Now, please pardon my partial paralysis with P words. So I sent this to Pastor Carl. And I'll try to read it for you because it probably won't make no sense. But how many know that I'm wired just a tad bit differently? That's not a place to say amen for you. And so I'm wired a little bit differently. So I'm asking God, just give me a word for the church today. And as I'm starting to writing, then the P words start rolling. So it does make sense, I promise you. This is the season of breakthrough for Impact Church. How many say, yeah? So this is the season for breakthrough for Impact Church. It may not always look precise. It may not always look promising. It may not always look pretty. It may not always look prestigious and wrapped in the right package. Meaning that when God literally shows up in all of His glory, it may not be the way that you prayed it would be. It may seem like a painstaking process. However, get this. there will be a platform for promotion in the eyes of the public that will pave the way, here's the word, for a perennial Pentecost. Perennial means this, glory to glory, be filled, be being filled over again and again. It's a perennial Pentecost. Persistence will be the picture of perfection. Meaning we will master the art of passionately seeking after His presence more than anything. I want to passionately pursue His presence more than anything. And Kevin is back here going, pa, 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 with all the P words. But it's good. This is a great word for us here tonight. Micah says in Micah chapter 2, he says, I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob, and I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. And I will pull them together like sheep of the fold, like a flock in the midst of their pasture. And they shall make a loud noise because of so many people. The one who breaks open will come up before them, and they will break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. And their king will pass before them with the Lord at their head. I love that because the Lord of the breakthrough is Jesus. And I get excited about that because He is going to do mighty exploits on behalf of His people. He will give us a victory over those things that hold us back in bondage. And God's people will pass through the gate of victory and go out before it. And the Lord of hosts is going to bring us up out of the confinement that Satan has imposed upon God's people. And I wrote that the other day, and God just corrected me. He says, I am not going to bring them out. I've already brought them out. You need to quit living in the future. Because sometimes we keep thinking, you know, God is about to do and God wants to do. God has already done and God is already doing. Because quit living in the future. Because when you live in the future, then we keep coming up with the same pitiful excuses that we've done in the present why we can't even get to the future. God is doing something right here. And God is doing something right now. And God's already done something in your past to prepare you for your present. God is doing it. I'm telling you, it gets really exciting. Boom, I love all that. So what happens when we go ahead of the Lord? Nothing. A closed door. So we try to force things open in our own strength. Have you ever done that? I have. That in turn opens the door to become a religious sect, void of godly influence and direction. And then we become a self-reliant, self-sufficient, self-preserving, relying on our self-promotion that hinders God's mandates. Come on. Some churches, they've failed miserably in the last several years to radically affect society because they've done it without God. Some have even, get this, surrendered to a cultural mindset that has neutered their ability to reproduce. Meaning this, that they've got evangelism right out of their plans. What I love about where we are going right now with Team 300, Team 400, Team 500, you know, whatever it is now, that I'm going to realize, we never get content with a low number. At first it was 300, now we're getting close to that. Now it's like, how about Team 3000? I mean, let's just kind of go for it. Let's go for a vision. What is that? It's when God lets you look into the future and see what it could be like, brings you back to the present, and then He allows you to prepare yourself to get there to your desired place of impact. Because God has a place of impact for each and every one of us here today. I get excited about that. But how many realize here today that in order to understand what the breaker anointing is, you've got to understand what it is not. It is not a platform for self-promotion. And this is where it gets a little bit sketchy right here. So let's go to the next slide. Philippians chapter 2 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Come on now. Strife is erythia. It's the picture of a person who is jockeying for some kind of position. And this is the person who is trying to make themselves look powerful, insightful, or significant in the sight of other people. How many of you have seen folks like that before? And maybe in all of their innocence, but the fact of the matter, it happens, and I've seen it happen. Strife in Galatians 5:19 through 20 is one of the works of the flesh. Next slide. Vainglorious, kenodoxia, and kenos describes something that is hollow are empty. And doxis is the word where we get our word glory from. But when you put it together, it portrays a hollow or an empty boasting, a kind of self-glory that echoes self-promotion. What I mean by that is, you know, you see people that are, you know, look what I've done. And there's a fine line and a balance between giving a testimony of what God is doing or giving a testimony of what God is doing through me or giving a testimony of just look at me. And you'll know through discernment. So with the new definition, it means this: do not jockey for position or try to prove yourself or prove your importance to others with a lot of hollow, empty boasting and self-promotion. Lowliness of mind comes from a Greek word meaning whatever that says. Tapaphrosthenomi or something like that. It describes something that is lowly, humble, next. It describes someone who is modest, unpretentious, even if he or she is intelligent, gifted, or more talented than others. The second part of the word is pronos, and it means to think, right? So combined, it means to think lowly, to think in an unpretentious way about yourself, and to think modestly about yourself. Esteem comes from this Greek word, hegonomai, and it means to lead or consider. So here we go. When we're talking about a breaker anointing, we're going to talk about what it is, but this is what it is not. It is not to jockey for position or try to prove your importance to others with a lot of hollow, empty boasting and self-promotion. Instead, have a modest opinion of yourself and learn to recognize the outstanding contributions that others have to impart. And when you get a grasp of that and you really begin to understand, you know, what this breaker anointing really is, then you'll understand, you know, what it is designed for. So what is this breaker anointing? What is it? You know, what do we use it for? Well, 1 Samuel chapter 3 says, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare and precious in those days." We all know this scripture. "And there was no frequent or widely spread vision, or there was no revelation, or there was no really no understanding." So, in other words, that there was no breakthrough revelation. They were destitute of a spiritual perception. But God wants you to release your past so that you can reveal your future. He wants you to relinquish your past, get rid of it, so that you can embrace and reveal your future. I get excited about this because this whole word breaker, the Hebrew means paratz. It means to break out, to burst out. It gives the indication that something has been closed off, shut up, diminished, restricted, or even confined. The breaker anointing will assist you to open up any gate or take ground that in the natural you may or may never had the opportunity or the ability to do before. And I can tell you this here today, that if we are going to do something significant in London, we've got to recognize what a breaker anointing is. And it, in some ways, it's a forerunner or a pioneering type of an anointing. The word anointing means, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the word anointing means the perpetual propulsion of the power of God in our lives. Perpetual is there, is riding or residing, is here. It will propel you through anything, any wall, any obstacle that the devil puts in front of you. When you understand that you are anointed, man, you go forth. You don't even see the obstacle. I tell Micah, you know, when he's running, I said, you might have these defensive guys, and honest to goodness, the Cambridge Lions, they were like the giants. Of these guys were garmungous, man. I mean, their legs were coming out of their neck. And I told Micah, don't look at the obstacle. And he's going, yeah, right. You know, okay, yeah. They're like, ah, they're coming after me for lunch. And you're telling me, don't look at the obstacle. Run through them. How many know that's easier for the dad and the coach to tell the player, but the player's on the field having to run through the giant? And it's easy for me to tell you, and it's easy for me to say, hey, you know, don't look at your obstacle. Don't look at the barrier. Don't look at the wall. Just run through it in Jesus' name until you actually get in the situation. And then in the back of your mind, the fear, the doubt, the unbelief comes in. And then you hear Pastor Bobby saying, don't worry about your wall. Don't worry about your obstacle. Don't worry about your barrier. Just run through. And you're thinking, no, I don't think so. I ain't going back because it was easier in the promised land. You see, you never really know what's about to take place until you make that first move. And I tell Micah, man, when you're a tailback and you make that first move, that defense, they recognize they're geared for one thing. And they're geared for you to come this way. They're not geared for you to come, you know, to make a change. The exciting thing about a breaker anointing is it always revolves around change. That God will change you. He'll change the direction. He'll change the way you speak. He'll change the way you say. He'll change the way you go. Why? Because the angel of the Lord goes before you. And when you follow the angel of the Lord, I can promise you and assure you that great and mighty things are going to begin to take place. Yes. Isaiah 61. Holy cow. Kevin's going 10 minutes. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. I know this wasn't just for these guys here. It's for every one of us. He has sent us to proclaim and to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison of those who are bound. The breaker anointing, Isaiah 10:27 says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that this burden will be taken off your shoulders and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing." Another word for destroyed means it grinds into powder. It means that it bears no resemblance of what it used to be. That the anointing will break through everything and anything that stands in your way. Let's go to the next slide. We are all in to go all out. Are you with me? Now, we all have this, what's it called Sunday, Kevin? All out Sunday. Okay, I got that. But we're all in to go all out. We're all out to go all in. We're all out Sunday. Why? So all can come in. Well, that's great and awesome. But how many know if you flip that thing around, now we're all in to go all out. I'm in. God, I got it. I want everything you want to pour inside of me and then some. I want to be that container of the glory of the Lord. I want to be that mobile container. I get that. But I don't want to just be a mobile container where I can just, you know, show off and show everybody that, ooh, looks, I got the glory. But I want to take it in the school. I want to take it in the street. Matthew 11 and 12 says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and if I don't take it by force." If we're going to see a breakthrough in London, then we need an anointing that will shatter, destroy, and demolish every obstacle that hinders and halts the word of God. And this anointing will loose everything that is holding us back. I've always kind of got a little wingy on that scripture about Matthew 11 and 12. Because when I saw that scripture, I had a different picture. But this is not an angry group of gunslinging vigilantes shouting from a PA system mounted on shoulders holding up signs, "The violent take it by force." That there comes a time where you've got to press in. That's what he's talking about. The violent take it by force. That we're pressing in. And we're going after everything that God wants to put inside of us. In other words, people who believe the gospel are finally taking the apostolic mandate serious enough to press in mightily and energetically into every area of society with no compromise. That we're saying, "God, I'm going in. I'm going in to go all out." And I love what Barbara Yoder said. I think we have it here. She said, "The voice, like thunder, shakes us out of our place of complacency into a place where we begin to fulfill that which we were born." I'm going to realize that most of us, including myself, we have not even tapped into all the potential that God has placed inside of us. How many of you feel, in all honesty, without even showing your hands, you know, that we're just coming up a tad bit short? I'm not talking about short of the glory. Well, yeah, I am. You know, short of the glory. That we come just a tad bit short. You know, that life gets in the way. I get that. But I know for a fact that when I went to Africa for those 3 weeks, those 21 days, it was a 21 days of being absolutely secluded in the presence of the Lord. And unfortunately, I didn't want to go back to life as usual. And I came back and found myself, you know, slowly getting back into the routine of business and all that baloney. And I'm like, "God, you know, I have to put the brakes on." Realize you have the choice. Remember Pepsi said you're the choice of a new generation? You know, you have a choice. You can passionately pursue anything that you want to passionately pursue. But when it comes to his presence, his P-R-E-S-E-N-S, I think it is, I want his presence. I want that manifest. I want him there. But I also want his presents as well. I want his gifts. But I mean, you'll never get a gift from the Lord if you're not in his presence to receive it. You'll never get a gift from the Lord if you're not in his presence to receive it. I said, God, man, that's what I want, you know, for our church. Psalm 29, as we wrap it up, says, the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. Job 37, 2 and 5 says, hear attentively the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that comes from his mouth, that he sends it forth under the whole heaven and his lightning to the ends of the earth. After it, a voice roars, and he thunders with his majestic voice, and he does not restrain them when his voice is heard. For God thunders marvelously with his voice, and he does great things which we cannot comprehend. I firmly believe in my heart here today that we have before us with Pastor Carl and Cheryl, and I know that they may be watching, and I'm not giving this out there just because they potentially are watching. But I firmly believe in my heart that God has given us a thunderous voice. He's given us an apostolic voice. He's given us a mandate. He's given us, you know, the couple that could lead us in the battle. Trust. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. And just as the mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so the Lord will surround and protect his people both now and forevermore. If you firmly believe here today that God has entrusted our leadership with a mandate and a plan and a purpose, and that they are guiding us and directing us and leading us in the paths that are right in the eyes of the Lord, then I can promise you that they'll not lead us astray. And get this, as you are under the thunder, as you're under the voice, you are also guilty by association. That you will receive an impartation from them as well. And you'll soon find out that you'll be thundering and you'll be applauding and you'll be decreeing and you'll be declaring, thus saith the Lord, because no one gives a rip about our opinions anymore. Our opinions carry nothing, but the voice of the Lord carries everything. I can promise you, when this breaker anointing comes upon you today, you're going to walk out of this place. Maybe we might be 10 minutes overdue the time that Kevin has allowed me today. But I know that God is going to do something very significant. Let's go to 2 Samuel really quick. Chapter 5, 17. Hurry, hurry, hurry. We now bring you station identification. This program is brought to you by... Verse 17. Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. David heard of it, and he went down to the stronghold. And the Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Verse 19. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines, and will you deliver me in your hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. So David went up to Baal-Berazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-Berazim, and they left their images there, and David and his men carried them away. Verse 22, then the Philistines went up again, once again, and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, and he said, you shall not go up, circle around behind them, and come up upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And that shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly. For then the Lord will go out before you and strike the camp of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord commanded him, and he drove back the Philistines from Gibeah as far as Gazar. Now I want you to see this very quickly as we wrap this up. In verse 17 he says, you don't receive an anointing without a conflict. You don't receive an anointing without a conflict. Why? Because when the Philistines heard that David was anointed, don't ever think that just because that you are anointed that conflicts will not come. They may even come more. I've said it before that if you've never met the devil face to face, chances are you're traveling in the same direction he is. that if when you wake up in the morning that all the alarms of hell are not ringing out of control, then you literally pose no threat to him whatsoever. But when you have embraced the breaker anointing and the angel of the Lord goes before you, it doesn't matter what the conflict is. Conflicts will come. They will come. And what happens in the story, he says sometimes they get a little shy. Sometimes they're like, I don't know what's going to happen, but ground is sometimes lost because we get intimidated when the warfare shows up. And you just need to get to the place where you need to get ready for the kingdom, because where did David go? He went down to the stronghold. He went to the place where God was. And verse 18 says, they tried to intimidate David. And verse 19 says, he asked before he went. And then he went to the place of Bel Berazim. And that is, when you look it up, it means the place of breakthrough. He went to the place of breakthrough. And when God told him to go, that is when he went. He didn't have to wait for another angelic call and some other, you know, prophetic confrontation. He was ready at all times. And when God told him to go, that's when he went. Because verse 24 says, when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, cause yourself to be active, move quickly, rise to action, for then the Lord is going to go before you. You only advance, hear me now, you only advance when you hear the command to go. You need to be ready. You need to be prepared in season and out. And we are all in to go all out. And there is the sound of a marching. And there is an angelic host that is going before us here today. We are pressing in to this kingdom. And the kingdom of God is here. And God is doing great things. He's doing amazing things. Are you ready to wrap it up? No, you're not supposed to clap. So how do we do this? What does it mean to press in? Luke 16, since the time the kingdom of God has been preached, everyone is pressing into it. It simply means diligently look for it. Search out earnestly with an unreserved, unrestrained emotion. John Wesley says, catch on fire and others will long to come and watch you burn. Burn for him. Four characteristics of a breaker anointing. Aggressive evangelism will just blow through it. Fire and fervor. Commitment. Pressing in. Doesn't always come easy. Number three, a passionate pursuit of God in prayer. Demonic confrontations. It'll happen. Next one. Four golden keys to unlock your breaker anointing. Number one, we'll just blow through these as well because of time. Contending. Engage in a competition or campaign in order to win or achieve something. Don't give up so easy. Consistency. Continuity. Confidence. Matthew 11, verse 7. Through that script, through that whole text there, he says, you know, what did you see? Some people want to see, you know, the great prophet. Some people want to see the great signs and wonders. The fact of the matter is, keep your eyes on the Lord. The next one, Barbara Yoder said, the restoration of the apostolic church is transforming the face of the church from a passive, withdrawn entity into a bold, aggressive, and advancing spiritual force. See, that's what's happening. Here we go. Are we almost done? Reasons why there is no breakthrough. We'll blow by these. Because some people don't react defensively. Some people may not be aggressive enough. For some, their hearts don't burn bright enough. For some, they have little or no conviction or passion. For some, they're not moved to prayer. For some, they don't present the gospel in power. For some, they have no radical abandonment. And for some, there's a non-responsive, weak, and they're afraid. But if these are the reasons why it doesn't happen, these are the rewards for pressing in. These are the good things. These will make you shout. Open heaven and favor. Yes. Taking ground, breakthrough, new realms of authority, new visions, new territory, pushing back the enemy, breaking demonic strongholds, and last but not least, a mass harvest. When we have a breakthrough, we get a mass harvest. And I love harvest. It's fun. It's good. How are we doing, Kevin? Put it all on Kevin. Pastor Carl, talk to your buddy. Here's my last thing here today. That I'm not going to work for power. I'm going to work with it and within it. I'm not going to work for it. I already got it. I just have it. Now all I've got to do is work with it and work within it. And there's a new breed. I think we have it. Here he is. There's a new breed. Maybe you're part of this new breed. I don't know, but we'll find out. The new breed believes that they are not in a captive state of mind. The new breed believes that they are not bound to the past. A couple of amens, others are still bound to the past. I don't get it. The new breed believes that they are not imprisoned in the libraries of history, reading about what used to be and forbidden to dream. They're not tolerant of mediocrity. They're not embarrassed, ashamed, or coward of confronting sin and the demonic that holds souls captive. They are shakers. They are movers. They are bent on a global domination and the expansion of the gospel and resilient to infiltrate the enemy's ranks. I don't know if we have any of those here. They're not in agreement with carnality and the imaginary giants of the land, but they are ones who thwart the advancement of the enemy. They are gate crashers, wall breakers, and believe in a mountain-moving, miracle-making God. I hope that's you. I hope that's you. And Isaiah says, and we're done, who's all in? And who's ready to go all out? I'm all in. Karen, I'm ready to go all out. Get me out of here. Isaiah 52, depart. Get the heck out of here. Depart, depart. Go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of here. Be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord, what does it say? Will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. I say, that's a good word. I say, that's a breaker anointing. And I say, we need that desperately here. Jelly bean, we need it. We need a desperate anointing. We need a desperate breakthrough. We have so many things at our disposal. And I can promise you, when an awakening comes, it'll put a fire on your tail that nothing will ever quench. And you'll see more stuff happening in the streets. That was just, I don't want to say that was nothing. That was awesome. But in the days to come, that's nothing. That's like entry-level evangelism, miracle-working healing. You're like, what? When people came up in Africa and they're like, hey, Gordon, they're like, hey, come pray for this person, they're deaf. I'm like, okay, that's no big deal. Boop. I'm like, oh, that was easy. I'm not saying you get cocky, but I'm saying you get confident when you follow the breaker. When you follow the angel of the Lord, there's confidence that comes with that. Amen? Let's all stand. Come on. Contending for the supernatural. Did you get anything out of that? A little bit? 35 minutes? 40 minutes? How many be honest here today and say, you know what? I need a breaker anointing on my own life. I need it myself. Yesterday, I'll be honest. Yesterday, we had this guy on the football team. This guy is like a giant in the land. He's like huge, man. Yeah, this guy's arms are like out to here. He's like, oh. And I was tested. Micah knows who he is. We call him Thor. No kidding. Because he thinks he's a god. I don't know. But he was huge. And he got a hip pointer. These things that mess with your nerves, right? Whatever he had. Anyway, whatever it is, the big man fell. So I have to be a little careful. There's some political things going on. I got to be a little careful. So I went to him. I said, hey, how'd you like the pain to go away? Being the man of faith and power that I was. He goes, oh, yeah. I need the effing pain to go away. Okay, it'll be better in 5 minutes. What do you mean? I'm the chaplain. I'm going to pray. I went out there and did it. Just went for it. He comes back to me 10 minutes later. He goes, hey, coach. I said, what's that? Didn't work. Pain's still there. Interesting. So I said, 5 minutes, right? I said, oh, that was Newfie time. we'll pray again. I said, you know what? It will get better. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. It will get better. fact of the matter is this, because it didn't even happen in 5 minutes, I'm like, I didn't get all freaked out and worried about that. Some people would. But I have confidence in my Creator. I know that God's going to touch him. It may be 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, it may be today. But the fact is, when they see me, I don't want them to see me. When I get on the field next to these physical Neanderthals, I don't want them to just think, I don't want them to go, oh, there's the weak-kneed, inconsistent, mamby-pamby, sissy chaplain. No. I want them to see a man of God so confident in his faith and confident in his God that God shows up in the land of the giants. God shows up in one of the youngest players, a 17-year-old kid on the field of giants. And all these players get to see Jesus in the little David. And they get to see Jesus in the chaplain. They get to see Jesus in the coach. Whether the guy got healed in 5 minutes or not. The fact of the matter is, I know what I'm carrying. And I know when I speak, it's going to happen. And that's the same thing that I believe, Bene, that God wants to unload, unleash, and unveil in every single one of us here today. If we can take the time to receive that. I know some of you got to go. I get that. But how many of you would just hang out just a little bit so we can pray that the God of the breakthrough would infiltrate your life as well as infiltrating my life on a regular being filled daily basis? Amen? Why don't you take your neighbor by the hand really quick? Jesus. We're going to do this really quick. If you're visiting here today, I'm not the pastor here. He's on vacation. They need a vacation. I'm the fill-in guy. You don't have to put up with me all the time. Most people can't. They're saying amen. But you may be here today, and you know, maybe you're visiting, maybe this is your first time, and you're thinking, man, chill. Why are you so angry? I'm not angry. It's just me. It might sound like I'm angry. I'm not angry. I like to have fun. But you know this one thing, and you know that life is hell without Jesus. How many can echo that? Life is hell. That'd be a good t-shirt. Life is hell without Jesus. Somebody actually told me one time, go to hell. And I said, they don't let Christians in there. That's not a place for us. Don't ever tell anybody to go where you wouldn't want to go yourself. When you get mad at somebody, tell them, go to heaven. When you go to greet somebody, like, come here, Kevin. When you go to greet somebody, give me your hand, say, how to heaven are you? And they're going to go, what the heaven? How many know when they say that, when they say something like that, good, you've already changed the atmosphere. Who does that? Breaker. The breaker anointing goes before your tongue. How many know your tongue is the first thing that people see? It's the first thing they hear for sure. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. If you're here today and you have never, ever, ever given your life totally to Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about, here, raise up your hand and repeat some goofy prayer after me. I'm talking about surrendered your life. Jesus, here I am. I've really messed up. I've got covered up unrepentant sin in my life. I know I'm totally lost without you. Please rescue and redeem me now. If that's you here today, I just want you to slip up your hand. I'm not going to have you ask your neighbor a question. I'm not going to have you bow your head and close your eyes. Because how many, if you can't raise your hand, and those of you who are watching, if you can't raise your hand here, you're going to have a very difficult time when you walk through these two doors. It'll get a little bit harder when you walk out the door. If you're here today on the count of three, you say, I've never given my life to Jesus Christ, but I want to. Just want you to raise your hand. Pastor and I, Dan, and some of the others, you know, we'll pray for you. And then we're going to pray that God is just going to bust loose. And the breaker anointing is going to fill everybody. All of us. And if you think that you got it, you might, and that's good, but we're always candidates for more. On the count of three, if you've never given your life to Christ, just slip up your hands and say, Bobby, just pray for me. Are you ready? One, two, three. Anybody? somebody. Say, I'm visiting today. I don't know the Lord. Jesus Christ is my personal Savior and Lord. Please pray for me. Father, I do pray for everybody who's watching today. Let's go to this camera. Everybody's watching today. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, God, that you would be so real to them. God, that you would extend your hand, you would extend your love to them today. I do pray for those of you here today who are sick in your body, that by his stripes that you are healed. And I release that miracle healing anointing upon you here today, that God will just flow right through the camera. God will touch you. As you put your hand on the area of your body, that you're believing God for healing. That even right now, that something out of the ordinary is going to begin to take place right now. Why? Because heaven invades earth as we are pressing in and believing God, that God will touch you here today. If God is moving in your heart, if God is ministering to you, then send an email to the church, and let us know what God's doing.